Hi there, folks. This is the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show, episode 72. We've got a fantastic guest joining us, Michael Gerber of the E-Myth fame. He's going to be joining us. Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us. I've also got my co-host, Thomas, joining me as well. So basically what we're going to do, folks, is we're going to be discussing Michael's new book that's coming up. But before that, I'm going to plug my sponsor, which is Easy Agent Pro. They've been sponsoring the show this month and hopefully next month. It's a great website solution if you're a real estate agent looking for a website solution that can get you real leads and real traction in your local marketplace. So if that sounds interesting, I would highly recommend that you go to Easy Agent Pro's website, and they'd be more than happy to give you a free demo and answer any questions you like. So that's out the way, Thomas. So would you like to introduce Michael to the audience and go forward?
Absolutely. Well, I'm really excited to have you here today, Michael. As someone that encountered the E-Myth Revisited back in 1995, when I believe it was the Wall Street Journal made a big deal about it by calling it the number one business book in the world. And I have to agree with that because it changed my life when I read it. And you may remember this, you may not, but I was a member of your Star Support program, and I coached under Gerber for almost a year and a half. And that was a life-changing experience. And that was back in 1996. So when people ask me what my favorite book is, I always tell them The E-Myth, because it was a turning point in my career and in my life. Thank you for being here. And my question to you is, you make no secret that you're in your 80th year young, and you've obviously had a lot of success. I believe you have 29 E-Myth-related books. And when most people at this point in their life would be resting on their laurels and retiring and maybe enjoying some golf, you're coming out with a brand new book. And if people read this book, they're going to understand there's a new movement behind this book. Why now? Why this book?
Well, now, simply because it struck me that it was time for me to do this. As you mentioned, Thomas and Jonathan, you know this as well, that my 29 books have achieved great notoriety. We have reached out in 145 countries. They're being taught in 118 universities, places like MIT, Harvard, Stanford, Brigham Young University, NYU, on and on and on and on. And so, having achieved that notoriety, or if you will, that recognition, then it becomes a really important question. So then what do you do? And then what you do is what I've always done. I ask the question, so what's missing in this picture? And that's the great entrepreneurial question of all time. What's missing in this picture? Steve Jobs had his answer. Ray Kroc had his answer. Walt Disney had his answer. Mary Kay Ash of Mary Kay Cosmetics had her answer, and on and on and on and on. And I'm essentially saying my answer is the entrepreneurs that are so critical to the vitality and spirit of enterprise worldwide. So as we look today at our country, here we are in these United States of America, we see that the number of new companies is diminishing every year. We see that the failure rate of small business is identical the same as it was when I launched my enterprise in 1977. In short, most companies fail, whether it be in real estate, whether it be in chiropractic, whether it be in heart surgery, whether it be in you name it, most companies fail. But when you also look at the fact that most people fail, you look at the statistics about that in our country. You look at the increasing number of individuals on food stamps, by the millions and millions and millions. You look at the 95 plus million people who are employable but unemployed, and in fact, they will never be employed. You look at 20 trillion plus in debt, with 140 trillion actually in long-term debt, and you know that we can't work our way out of that. If you look at the interest alone on that debt, it exceeds $3 billion a day. And when you begin to understand all of that, you begin to understand that no matter who we elect to be president, no matter who we elect to lead the country, no matter what party it may be, that it isn't a political solution that, in fact, we're looking for. It's an entrepreneurial solution that we're looking for. In fact, to awaken the entrepreneur within every solitary soul is my ambition. So if now, why not? And if not, why? Then how do I do that? I go beyond what I've already done. And I go beyond what I've already done because if 5 million plus people have read my books, and they have, and if all of this is going on at the same time, it essentially means they may read my books, but they don't do my books.
Right.
And so I've decided to write the book they cannot avoid doing. It is so stupidly simple. And so I'm saying, keep it simple, stupid. And if you fail to do this, you've just hung it up. And I'm saying to hang it up intentionally is truly a crime. And that's why I'm doing this now. To transform the state of small business worldwide, because every life is a legacy, and every small business is a school. And every single one of us have to come to the place to understand that it's within our power, our individual power, to truly make that occur everywhere we look. My job is to help.
And you're doing that through your new release, Beyond the E-Myth, The Evolution of an Enterprise from a Company of One to a Company of 1,000. And one of the points that you made in the book was what you just kind of touched on there. What we're responsible for our own economy. And you talk about taking our company from a company of one, maybe the solopreneur, to a company of 1,000. How do people adopt that? How do people start on that process?
Well, it's very, very clear, and it's very clear in the book, Beyond the E-Myth. Step one, step two, step three. There are only 8 steps in the process. The first step is to discover your dream. Now, when I say that, most people think, what is my dream? What is my... I don't mean your dream in the way that we think about it, nor do I mean you go to sleep and you have a dream. This is exactly the opposite of that. You can't dream when you're asleep. You can only dream when you're awake. Entrepreneurs are absolutely awake when they dream, because the dream is not about them. The dream is about them. And by them, I mean by the people they're here to serve. So when Steve Jobs had a dream at Apple, you understand, he imagined something spectacular occurring by creating this new personal computer that he set out to create. Now, you got to understand, Jobs wasn't an engineer. Jobs wasn't the technician that everybody thinks he was. Jobs didn't do that. Everybody else did that. Wozniak did that for Jobs. But Jobs did something Wozniak didn't do. Jobs had a dream, a vision, a purpose, and a mission. My dream, my vision, my purpose, my mission, when I started this all in 1977, were very, very clear. My dream was to transform the state of small business worldwide. My vision was to invent the McDonald's of small business consulting. My purpose was that every independently owned small business could be as successful as a McDonald's franchisee. And my mission was to invent the business development system that could be applied in any kind of company, any place in the world, no matter what the product was, no matter what the service was, no matter what the industry was, no matter who the consumer was, it had to be universally applicable. And that's what we set out to do, and that's what we did. And that's what all my E-Myth books were all about. Beyond the E-Myth makes it, as I've said, really, really simple. Step one, step two, and on and on and on.
Well, and you opened up by making a comment that millions of people have read your books, but not so many have done your books. And what do you think gets in the way of that? Why do you think when you read an E-Myth book, it makes perfectly good sense, as does Beyond the E-Myth, yet it's so hard for the entrepreneur to incorporate into their daily lives?
Because they're not entrepreneurs, Thomas.
Ah,
that's explain. What the E-Myth is all about. You understand, the E-Myth is the entrepreneurial myth.
Right.
It says essentially the people who start their own company aren't entrepreneurs, they're technicians suffering from an entrepreneurial seizure, and what they did is create a job for themselves, right? They create a job for themselves, and now they're working for a lunatic. And so the problem with them all is they're working for a lunatic, and they're completely asleep. You can't do this work when you're asleep. You have to be awake. Just like the dream I'm talking about isn't a dream about what I want, it's a dream about what they need. And what they need is to grow beyond what they're capable of doing. And they haven't the power to do that on their own. And so we have to create a school for everyone. So let's call it Entrepreneur School. Let's call it Michael Gerber's Entrepreneur School, called 101. And what do you teach in that school? You don't teach academics in that school. You teach pragmatics in that school. You teach a trade. Entrepreneurship is an enlightened trade. Steve Jobs put it best in the movie Steve Jobs. Have you seen that movie?
I have, yes.
Yes. And he was speaking to Wozniak. And Wozniak was pulling his leg just before the launch of the iMac. Now, you got to understand that Wozniak and the board had trashed the Mac. So understand, they had cost Apple $1 billion in losses the year before they brought Steve Jobs back. Steve Jobs came back to trash Apple II with the launch of the iMac. And Woz was pulling Steve Jobs' chain in the audience in front of employees at Apple who were looking in horror at what Woz was doing to Steve Jobs and wondering, how is Jobs going to get out of this one? And Steve Jobs said something which is so key to the question you're asking. He said, Woz, you play in the orchestra. I play the orchestra. You play in the orchestra. I play the orchestra. That's the difference between the two of us, and you'll never understand it. There wouldn't be an Apple without me. Now, understand what he wasn't saying was, look how important I am. He was saying, look at the difference in view. And I'm saying to every single person listening to us right now, to the degree you fail to understand that difference, you will fail to succeed at achieving an entrepreneurial outcome that has the power to transform the state of your world. But if you understand it, we can then begin in Gerber's Entrepreneur School right here, right now, where I can begin to teach you the trade craft of being a great entrepreneur to create a great growing company. That's what Beyond the E-Myth is all about. It's entrepreneur school. It's a great growing company. It's about taking a company of one, which is a company that's dependent upon the owner, and converting it into a company of 1,000 that in fact lives because a great system has been created that represents it.
And Michael,
that's all Apple was. That's all Starbucks was. That's all that McDonald's was. That's all that Disney is. A great system invented by a great entrepreneur and implemented by great technicians at Disney. Those great technicians are called Imagineers.
Right.
Disney Imagineering. Disney Imagineering. Disney Imagineering. I'm saying that's where Woz worked. But without Walt, Woz wouldn't have a freaking job. Do you understand it?
Yes. I mean, this brings me back to the original E-Myth Revisited, where you talk about everyone needs to be an entrepreneur, a manager, and they need to I'm spacing on the third one.
Everyone doesn't need to be. Everyone is an entrepreneur, a manager, and a technician.
Technician, thank you.
Unfortunately, they don't know what an entrepreneur is. They don't do management. All they do is the technician's job, doing it. So if you find what people do in quotes, their businesses, you'll find they're working as a technician. Right? A guy who's selling real estate, or not.
Right.
A guy who's programming is programming. A guy who's heart surgeon is doing hearts, or not. Technician. Do we need technicians? Of course we do. They're producers. But if the world depended upon producers, we'd all be out of luck. Because they'd be doing it, but there wouldn't be anything greater being done.
So, in other words, a guy that's great at plumbing, for example, could go out and be the best plumber, but he may not be the best at running a business or building a business that is saleable in the future. So they
he not only might not be, he won't. Do you understand? Understood. Because he thinks like a plumber.
Right.
Yeah. If you think like a plumber, you're screwed. You understand? If you think like a plumber, you're screwed. Yeah, you got a job.
Right.
Right. Get up every morning, got the crack in your ass, and you go out and you do the work. You understand? Yeah. You're doing it. And if somebody's creating the work for you to do, that's great. But you don't do that very well. So you spend all your time doing it, but nothing grows. You understand how self-enclosed, self-confined that plumber is? Do you understand why most plumbers are so unhappy? Do you understand why most dentists commit suicide? Do you understand why most people doing it are lost? Because the magic isn't there any longer? So why do we always find ourselves trying to motivate people? Because their work isn't motivating.
Right.
There's no juice in it. So we try to motivate them, but you can't motivate anybody. They have to motivate themselves. But they don't know how to motivate themselves because they haven't awakened the creator within, the entrepreneur within, the magic within. They don't see the bigger picture.
And that's something that I see plague my industry in real estate often. I mean, we often jump into something because we're good at it, but we don't think about all the other aspects involved in creating a business. All we've created is a job for ourselves.
Most real estate agents fail.
Yes.
Period.
Over 80%.
80%. Yeah. Most real estate agents fail. And yet, we keep on bringing them on, we keep on training them, we keep on licensing them, and we keep on failing them. Why?
Yeah, I think that's very insightful. I think we're going to go for our commercial break, folks, and when we come back, we're going to find some more insights from Michael, and it's been fascinating so far. We'll be back in a second, folks.
Interested in a website that uses modern lead capture to help you generate real estate leads from blogs, SEO, and social media? Well, if you are, then you need LeadSites. LeadSites uses custom apps to help agents get better results online. Learn more by going to easyagentpro.com. That's easyagentpro.com And when you're at the site, make sure you look at the bullet points, see everything that it does. Easy Agent Pro is excited to be a proud sponsor of the Real Estate Agent Podcast.
We're coming back. We're going to learn more from Michael, more about why most of us are just kind of technicians and we need the light to turn us into entrepreneurs. Off you go, Thomas. Ask some more fascinating questions.
Sure, absolutely. Well, we were given an advanced copy of the first portion of the book, so I got to dive into it a little, and I'm excited to read the rest of it. One of the things that you brought up there, because one of the questions that came into my mind early in reading the book was, how does a guy like me, 17 years into my career, adopt these changes that Beyond the E-Myth prescribes and they resonate with me? You know, old dog, new tricks. And then I read on and I read about new co, old co, and the difference between the two. Could you explain that mentality a little?
Yeah, and it's very, very important, Thomas, because on the one hand, what you're always taught to do is to fix old co. Old co is the company you got.
Right.
You understand, it's not the company you used to have, it's the company you've got. Old co, in my context, is the company you've got, and people keep on trying to teach you how to fix old co. How you can't. Hear me. You'll continue to do this for the rest of your life. So what I'm saying is that's the wrong mindset. That's the wrong objective. Fixing old co is exactly the opposite of what you should be doing. I'm saying instead what you should be doing is inventing new co. Don't fix the company you got. Create the company you want. But before you create the company you want, let's start it anew. Let's not start it with all the old habits. Let's not start it with all the old thoughts. Let's not start it with all the old pictures. Let's not start it with all the old ideas. Let's not even start it with the old industry in mind. Let's forget everything we've learned about real estate. And let's start it anew, called the Dreaming Room. I call it the New Dreaming Room. Let's start it anew to discover, on a blank piece of paper, what we're actually here to do. And when you begin that process, it's very troublesome in a way, because I'm asking you to do something you don't know how to do. You understand, there is no possibility for a blank piece of paper and beginner's mind, because we're incapable of discovering a beginner's mind.
Right.
In short, it's full. It's just chock full of stuff. So when I show you a blank piece of paper, Thomas or Jonathan, that blank piece of paper of yours is already full.
Right.
It's chock full of every damn thing you've learned about real estate. And so every damn thing you've learned about real estate is on that piece of paper. How do you move all those things that you've learned about real estate aside and start from scratch? Well, that's what you do in the New Dreaming Room. And hear me, you got to do it, because you can't invent the future if all you're doing is changing the past. Cannot do it.
That's profound.
So you can't invent the future if all you're doing is changing the past, because the very same guy who created the past is trying to create the future. Can't do it. So we got to find a new guy. And the new guy is what I'm calling the new entrepreneur. And so understand, and you can depend upon this, because we've done this and done this and done this and done this, a blank piece of paper in beginner's mind, over and over and over and over again, and produced staggering results. I'm sure you both are familiar with a company called Infusionsoft.
Yes.
Right. Well, Infusionsoft came to me about 7 years ago. The founders and the executives came to the Dreaming Room as I was leading it back then. And they said, Michael, we know the E-Myth. We believe in the E-Myth. We're systems guys. But what's this dreaming stuff? Sounds so touchy-feely.
As a, yeah,
it's about as touchy-feely as a heart attack, Scott. So just sit down and let's follow the process and let's see what happens. And when we're done at the end of the 3 days, it's actually 2.5 days, let's see what happened. Well, at the end of the 2.5 days, these guys came to me and they're just in shock. And I mean just in shock, because they just came face to face with everything that was missing in their company. In short, the company they had created would never go anywhere other than more of the same. So something staggeringly different had to occur, and it happened in the dreaming room. They discovered their dream, their vision, their purpose, and their mission. They went back home to Arizona to work on their dream, their vision, their purpose, and their mission. And they were so ecstatic about it, they put it on the wall. Our dream is, our vision is, our purpose is, our mission is. Welcome to the new Infusionsoft. Well, that company went from a very small company, a software company, to the company it is today, in excess of $100 million in annual revenue, on its way to becoming a billion-dollar company in the next 5 years, with 35,000 and growing clients, with close to 700 employees. When I met them, there were about 12.
Wow.
A company that's truly an enterprise, emerging beyond anything anybody could have imagined. Well, I could name those stories again and again and again and again. But understand, that's what happens in the new dreaming room. In the new dreaming room, Thomas, Jonathan, you're going to discover something you never knew before. Now, that's hard to believe. But if you don't discover something you didn't know before, there's not going to be something created you've never created before. You got it?
Yes.
That's what happens. You'll discover your dream, your vision, your purpose, and your mission, or at least get a good handhold on it. And then you'll go back to what I call beyond the e-myth. And we are delivering beyond the e-myth through master facilitators, one-to-one, online, through a process. And the process is very simple. It's the next four steps that are included in beyond the e-myth. It's called the job, the practice, the business, the enterprise. So hear me. What's the job? The job is your client fulfillment system. Your client fulfillment system to do what? To manifest the dream, the vision, the purpose, and the mission. So how do I do that? We walk you through that process very, very, very simply. Because until you do the dream, until you do the vision, until you do the purpose, until you do the mission, you can't even begin the job. But once you begin the job, you can't go any further until you've got a turnkey client fulfillment system completed. Why is it critical that it must be turnkey visually, emotionally, functionally, and financially? It's critical because until it's turnkey, you can't scale it. You follow me? You can't scale it.
Right.
You can't become the McDonald's of. You can't become the Starbucks of. You can't become the Disneyland of. You can't become anything other than a job.
Right.
So once you've scaled it, the next step is to move toward the practice. And the practice I call the three-legged stool. Lead generation, lead conversion, client fulfillment. You built your client fulfillment system. Now you got to build your client acquisition system, turnkey, so you can grow. What? Your job. One time, two times, three times, four times. So just imagine, let's just say it's a real estate office. One real estate guy, two real estate guys, three, seven real estate guys, each of whom is a master of your client fulfillment system, with a client acquisition sufficient to provide them with exactly the number of leads and paid clients they need to optimally deliver the results that they've mastered. You got that?
Yes.
You understand that?
Yes.
Now what's next? Next is the business. What's a business? The first time a business has ever been defined this way. A business is nothing other than up to seven turnkey practices plus a turnkey management system. A business is seven real estate agents plus a turnkey management system. A business is a turnkey client acquisition system sufficient to keep up to seven turnkey real estate agents doing it, doing it, doing it, doing it exactly the way your company was designed for them to do. Wow. You now have a turnkey business. which is what? Which is the platform for growth to the last step, which is a turnkey enterprise. What's a turnkey enterprise? It's nothing other than up to 7 turnkey businesses. Get this. Turnkey businesses plus a turnkey leadership system. What's a turnkey business? It's up to 7 turnkey practices. So what's a turnkey enterprise? It's up to 49 turnkey practices. See the numbers. See the system. See, it's Lego blocks. That's what's missing in your industry. That's what's missing in every industry. That's what we're bringing in Beyond the E-Myth to go to work in every single job every single guy or lady has got, to help them to grow from a job to a practice to a business to an enterprise, to get their company ready for what? For sale.
For sale. The exit strategy.
You got it.
Yep. You're talking about going from income to equity.
From income to equity, because every single real estate agent lives for income. How much did you make? How much did you make? How much did you make? And understand, they miss the whole point of equity. Equity is the value of your company. And unfortunately, none of them can sell their company. Because there isn't any value. They're the value. When they leave, the company's gone. You follow me?
I follow you. That's the biggest challenge we have in our industry. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the systems we have in place and the database that we've put together over years that is our equity. And many of us don't take the time to nurture that along to a point where it is something of value and sellable.
Yeah, but I'm just going to be a little bit of a devil's advocate here, Michael. Isn't
that you're going to be Jonathan? You're the devil's advocate.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I've never met a devil's advocate before, so I'll be very challenged by it.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, I'm English, so that's my purpose, Michael. isn't it true, Michael, that a lot of service industries are like what you just said? I totally agree with you, are individually based, and when they try and sell, there is nothing to sell but the individual. But isn't that the reason why small individual real estate agents still exist? Because if it was possible to remove the person element, the individual personality of the agent and their competence, and you could systemize it all, then you wouldn't need real estate agents. So isn't it a contradiction in terms, really?
Well, actually not. You understand, if you assume that the personality is critical, and you assume that what I'm saying, that people aren't necessary, then you're making a deduction that, in fact, is a false deduction. I'm not saying that...
I've done that regularly, Michael.
Yes, I got it. I'm not saying that people aren't necessary. I'm saying the way people work isn't. I'm saying that they're primarily novices at business. And because they're novices at the art of business, because they're novices at the art of growth, because they're novices at the art of capitalization, because they're novices at the art of valuation, they work like novices at a very limited level of the operating potential of what they're there to create. I'm saying that every single human being on earth can grow from an apprentice to a craftsman to a master. But that process is an actual organization that nobody's ever learned. And so we feed this perception that it's the personality of a person, personal branding as an example, as opposed to it's the personality of the organization. It's the zeitgeist of the company, the zeitgeist of Apple. Supreme. It's the zeitgeist of the company. And I'm saying that can be designed, built, launched, and grown by anyone who learns how. and then masters it. And that's the business we're in. It's called Entrepreneur School, not Stupid School. It's called Entrepreneur School because that's the missing ingredient underlying the great problems we have universally today, that we don't have a way of creating entrepreneurs. We believe entrepreneurs are born, not made. And what we learn in Entrepreneur School or in Business School is exactly the opposite of what entrepreneurs need to learn. So I'm saying there is another degree, we're creating it, that must be taught in Entrepreneur School. It's called a Master's of Business Design. An entrepreneur is a master of business design. Your real estate agent isn't a master of business design. He is a master or she is a master of anything, it's a master of sales. But a master of sales is only one narrow component of what a great company must do. That's what we're teaching. Now,
I agree.
As we successfully do that, Jonathan, your entire world there in Nevada will be completely transformed.
Yeah.
Completely.
But I do, you know, I do agree with you, your metaphor of the three, the stall with the three legs, you know, lead generation. And many real estate brokerages, they started with a founder that might have been excellent at sales themselves, but systemizing that process so that that lead generation can be distributed through other people in the company is missing. So I do take that. One other question I was going to ask you is around culture. I've noticed, and it's not surprising, I just wondered if you would agree with this, is that obviously we're all born into families, and those families can be very different in their construction. You know, you have the typical Western family of a mum and a dad, and you might have a sibling, but other cultures have different family structures. And I've noticed that with organisations as well as companies, they have almost a family culture that's based, not that surprisingly, on what they were born into, which is fundamentally their family. And I've observed that a lot of companies, like a lot of families, can be dysfunctional, extremely. They still function, but they're dysfunctional. Would you agree with that observation? And do you think culture linked to process are two of the most important elements of a successful business?
Well, I would say it does, but I could also say, but it doesn't have to. So understand, if we accept the fact that cultures are in disarray, meaning they're in many, many different forms, that all these families are started differently and for different reasons, with different histories and so forth and so on. You might say the DNA of every family started out with the first man and the first woman, and therefore, and on and on and on and on. And we could say, well, it's just then just freaking hopeless. You understand? Well, we could say it's freaking hopeless because look at the world. I mean, in one respect, the world is freaking hopeless. But then I could say, yeah, but if that is true, and it is true, then where does one get one's hope? Well, one gets one's hope by pursuing the question, what's missing in this picture? And because I can discover successes that are so unlikely when I discover them, successes like the one I speak about, McDonald's, that they're so unlikely because when you look at all restaurants on the planet, you realize that the vast majority of them are just terribly operated. One would say, well, then it's very unlikely that Ray Kroc could have done what Ray Kroc did at McDonald's, and yet he persisted. Why? Because he had this ribald optimism. Now, here is this man with his ribald optimism, this great outlook on life. In fact, very interestingly, we're all going to be treated to a new movie coming out in December, on December 16th, called The Founder. And The Founder is about Ray Kroc and McDonald's.
Yeah.
And a great actor is playing Ray Kroc in that movie, Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And so I haven't seen the movie, obviously, but I'm looking forward to it. But that's the argument against what you've just shared. So, yes, I can tell you that all of us come from different families with different inputs, with different mindsets, with different inhibitions, with different belief systems, and on and on and on. Ergo, what? Ergo, what a wonderful opportunity for us to do what we do despite all that. And so, despite all that, we can point to experiences like Steve Jobs. And we can say, that's just unbelievable. And it is. But that's what I choose to look at. Because when I choose to look at that, everything else pales in comparison. I can suddenly say to Jonathan, yeah, I hear you, Jonathan, but let me show you something. And if there's a part of Jonathan, just a tiny, tiny, tiny part of Jonathan who's still a kid, okay, if his parents haven't destroyed the kid called Jonathan.
No chance, Michael. I'll always be a child.
If there's that little part of Jonathan and Thomas, then we have an opportunity. There's hope. Because children pursue the impossible with glee.
Always have
and always will until they're trashed again and again and again for doing it. My job is to stimulate and inspire that child because there's something waiting to be created. I don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. But let's pursue it.
Michael, I know we're running short on the time we have, and I want to ask you, because what you've just touched on inspired a question off the top of my head. You talk about inspiration and inspiring the child. At this point in your life, what inspires your inner child? What gets you going?
Oh, I creating. Just the possibility, the optimism that essentially says, I know the world can be perfect. I just know it. You understand? I just know it. I don't know how I know it. You understand? I don't know how I know it. I just know it. My wife tells me this very brief little story. The blind man says, when I met Christ, I was blind, and now I can see. I don't know how it happened, but I know it did.
Amen.
Now, understand, I'm a Jew telling you that story. I'm a Jew telling you that story, but I'm telling you that story because, in fact, it is at the heart of this entire thing. When I met Christ, I was blind, and then I could see. I don't know how it happened, but I'm here to tell you it did.
And we need leaders like you setting that kind of an example, because it can be a negative world. And so what Jonathan brought up about family, and I think we need people like you. We need books like Beyond the E-Myth. Jonathan, do you have any last words for Michael?
No, Michael, it's been I wish hopefully at some time we can have you back. Hopefully you've enjoyed this interview. I have. It's been... we've covered some big topics, really, and it'd be fantastic to have you back and delve a bit deeply. So, Michael, what's the best way of people to learn more about you and your philosophy in general?
It's really, really simple. Go to www.beyondemyth.com. Go to www.beyondemyth.com, and you'll get a free preview of my new book. And when you get that free preview of my new book, I'm going to ask you to go out and buy it. Now, here's the second thing that I want to say. The book comes out on December 7th. And just following the book on December 9th, 10th, and 11th, I'm launching our new enterprise. Of course, it's called Beyond the E-Myth, The Evolution of an Enterprise, From a Company of One to a Company of 1,000. But I'm launching it in the new Dreaming Room. You know, I spoke about the Dreaming Room that the Infusionsoft guys went to. This right. is the new Dreaming Room. And it's 3 days, 2.5 days exactly. And I'm leading this one personally. And it's in Carlsbad, California. And it's a $5,000 ticket. And I've got 30 seats available. And anybody who says to me, Michael, I got to do it, I got to do it, I got to do it. It's first come, first serve. But hear me, if you do it, be prepared for your life to be completely transformed. Just remember that. That's the point of it. To awaken the entrepreneur within. Boom. Done. Thank you, guys.
Michael, thank you so much, and best of luck with Beyond the E-Myth. We know you don't need the luck because you've impacted and improved the lives of so many people already. So excited for people to experience Beyond the E-Myth, and thank you for being on our show today.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.